you could only be tuned to WRUV FM Burlington 90.1 on your radio dial.
WRUV FM Burlington.
The radio voice of the University of Vermont, your better alternative.
You are listening to 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. Thanks, as always, for listening.
I love to sing about the moon and the June and the springer. I love to sing.
Do you need a little spice in your life? Do you need to stuff some more music into that old brain of yours? Try singing. This simple art can be done by anyone, no matter how good you think you are. It's so easy to sing, you can do it anywhere. According to the Sing Up Foundation, singing is known to lower cortisol levels, boost confidence levels, and help with pain. So sing up. Join a choir, sing along with us in your car, or even sing in the shower for all your roommates to hear. Your mind and body will thank you. This message was brought to you by your favorite DJs with velvety vocal cords here at WRUV 90.1 FM Burlington.
Hey everyone, this is Logging On with DJ Logue, also Logan Cerrone from WRUV's Exposure Series, and now 101.3 Flirt FM here in Galway, Ireland. I'm currently studying abroad, which is awesome, but unfortunate, because one of my favorite musicians, Jake Minch, is playing Higher Ground in Burlington, Vermont, November 24th, with special guest Daryl Ron. Luckily, I'm interviewing him today, hailing from the great state of Connecticut. Jake Minch, singer-songwriter extraordinaire. I gotta write this. About to embark on a second leg of the George Tour off of the back of his self-titled album, George. My personal record of the summer. Dude, you killed it. Go get your tickets at highergroundmusic.com. Welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Thanks so much. I'm good.
That was I kind of guessed you out. I'm sorry. I was like...
Yeah, wow. Thank you, though.
Where are you coming from today?
I'm phoning from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Hell yeah.
I was just at the gym, and now I'm back in my apartment.
Sweet. I'm from Long Island, New York, so right there. Also, if I'm not mistaken, was the Change Thing music video filmed on Long Island?
Yes, yeah.
No freaking way. That's crazy. Damn.
How could you tell?
I texted my mom. There was like I think you put it on your story. It was like Farmingdale, New York or whatever you filmed it at. And I was like, that's literally my backyard. Like, crazy, man. But hey, Strong Island, there we go. I first want to talk, I can't wait to get into the album. But first off, I just want to say that I've been a huge fan of you for a long time. Since TikToks, Handgun, all of it. I'm so proud of all your success, man. Thank you. How does it feel having this body of work, full body of work of yours out in the world for some time now? And how does it feel touring this project?
Definitely, like, there was a lot of stuff that had been put that it felt like was just like on ice when I was first starting music, like the professional pursuit. And it was like a lot of just like quiet homework, and so to actually get to put stuff to the test and like use the muscles that my managers spent a lot of time being like, just trust me, like we're training this thing, to get to actually utilize was like super cool. And touring, yeah, there's nothing like being on stage and making music with your friends.
Totally. I similarly agree. Like, how can we expect anything from this new leg of the tour? Are there any like inspirations for the tour?
Not really. I think right now I am spending a lot of time writing. Towards the end of tour, I started to like peek my head out with some new songs. And it's fun to like bounce those off a sounding board. I played one in Vancouver that like fully knocked the wind out of me. I played it and then I like got back in the green room and everyone was like, that was awesome. I was like, I feel not good. Like, I'm gonna go take a walk. So yeah, I think I'd like to keep testing the songs. Yesterday I was talking with people about how I managed to go the whole tour without forgetting a single lyric. And
hey, there we go.
because I said that out loud, I've anticipated one single lyric of.
Hey, you can't pinpoint it. I know you've been teasing that new song. Are we going to get that?
Maybe.
Who knows, man?
I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, that one was a song that we recorded when the album was being made. And I remember being like, this is corny. Like, I can't do this. And then it slowly started to like fit. Like, now that I've separated myself from that world, it is really a super sweet song. And I think like a concept that I have not personally explored or like seen explored. Yeah. So it's exciting.
Totally. You're finding your footing. You listen to it back and it all kind of makes sense now. So I totally agree. Yeah.
It was, yeah, super relieving to be able to see the project with like farther, like not nose to the.
For sure. This album talks a lot about going home. So I just wanted to talk about how this all came about. Like we said, mentioned earlier, Connecticut. You mentioned Trumbull on the album. One of my like really good friends from school is from Trumbull. So I was like, no way. But like, I feel very connected to my local music scene. How did music first come about in your life?
I was a kid of the internet. I think like I knew pretty early that John Mayer was from Fairfield, Connecticut, which is a couple towns over. But honestly, I've never been a John Mayer like super. I remember like when I was a teenager, I was like, no, like that guy sucks. Like I want to listen to Cave Town.
Yeah, I can't say my college music like radio opinion for that. So I totally understand.
I can. I'm sure he's great. I've never really delved into it, but I grew up in theater, which was really nice because that gave me like something to do in my summers, and I got to train a lot of muscles that have helped me later, that even though like I was a little apple, like prepubescent Jake sucked, it was cool to like have a lot of bases covered by the time that I found like Dodie in Cave Town and like Conan Gray. Although I remember not, I like, he had one song that I liked. He had I Know a Place, and every other song of his, I was like, I didn't find that good. That was, yeah. So once they like were playing ukulele and stuff, I could like watch their hands and try to emulate it. And then, yeah, like towards my later teens, I found out, my friend Sophia Kellogg's dad is a musician and like a career musician, and it was like possible to do and like support a family, and so that was really cool. And I got to see one of his shows was my first concert, and it was like really, I remember having like full body chills the whole time. It was so cool to like see it happen. Sure.
Yeah, I like fully relate to that. The theater to like then like musician pipeline is crazy. But like, and that comfortability is so real, and I think it really shows within your music. You kind of mentioned it already, but like was there any like live music show that really like prior to that, I mean other than that, like that really resonated with you, that was like, holy crap, this is not just something that I want to do professionally wise, but something that really like touched you within your own like process?
In hindsight, may have partially been like due to circumstance, because I had like, I was in college and then I wasn't in college anymore, and I like knew I was signing a record deal and stuff, but
yeah, that's so cool. Happened. Not many people can say that. So
yeah, dude, it was awesome. I was supposed to like, I didn't go to any of my classes, so like it'd be stupid to take my finals. I took one as like a let's just see how it goes, and I remember walking out of there and being like, if I'd gotten anything higher than like a 10%, I'd buy myself like an ice cream cake. But yeah, the other three finals I had, I moved out of college early for, because my A&R invited me to see Peter McPoland at the Bowery Ballroom. And it was really like, that was absolutely magical. I have yet to find that kind of like energy inside of a room since. And he puts on an awesome, awesome show. And yeah, it was also like my second concert. And I like hadn't
Damn.
Really
had, okay.
Yeah, I hadn't had the curtain like pulled back on how it works yet. So it all felt like truly like magic. That was like one of the like Mount Rushmore of times where I was like, okay, yeah, magic is real and it's happening right now.
For sure. One of my friends back at school, a couple of them actually, Peter McPoland played our like freshman year, and crazy show, they loved it. So yeah.
Ben, do you know
what he played at Higher Ground? Like I think it was like a solo show, like his headline. Yeah. So yeah. Hey, your lineage, there you go.
My lineage, he's so fun. I love the fact that he like opened his own tour. I think that's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but I want to talk a little bit about TikTok. I know this is like, I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but I think it's something that's so integral to your growth as an artist. And your artistry has been so visible since day one that like the platform doesn't really matter. But how do you now, as like an artist with multiple projects under your belt, kind of view it as a medium or a subculture? You mentioned like the internet a lot earlier.
Yeah, I kind of like maybe unpopular opinion, but I have a good time on there. Definitely, like there are times where my team is like trying to make me do something, and I'll like curb it. But definitely, I have like a scheduled post on TikTok like this draft in my calendar every day from management, but most of the time I ignore it. And when I can like make videos that I think are fun, and I can remember that it's not that deep on like that side account that I have, then I have a great time. Sometimes like when I am in like a discovery mode of music, and my team is like, hey, you should do a cover of a song, I don't love it, but I find ways to even make that fun. And I'm not singing like Olivia Dean, like I'm doing my favorite songs. And so it's cool. I feel like I have a leg up because of how much time I spent on YouTube as like a teenager. Like I feel like a lot of it is just like a regurgitated like Dodie Clark, like Doddle Vloggle thing.
Totally, yeah. I feel like the long form versus short form content is like such a switch up. But you master it so well. I will say, like, would you draw the line if like management was like, hey, do a say uncle dance or whatever?
That is yeah.
I don't want to give your management any ideas. I feel like
I know I felt the I'm gonna say like yeah, but also if I was on tour,
that's funny,
And like Michael, my guitarist, would like could come up with something that was like really funny. Like there was one.
Yeah.
We were playing with transitions. Great. There's two fans who have come up with a fingers and clothes dance that.
Oh, that's sweet.
I can't bring myself to do, but it's like it's all about context for me. Like I can, yeah, I don't know.
For sure. But I also know like it's allowed you to connect with like the Gray Sangers of the world, Alex Page, Lizzie McAlpine. I mean, Paul Mescal recently, like that's some crazy. Wow. How does it feel like to have found that support and even like close friends that you collaborate with?
It is